Now, I want to talk with you tonight about the bones, dry bones. The prophecy about Israel. It's in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 37, page 829. There are some wonderful prophecies about Israel. Back in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, there's a very unusual prophecy about Israel. It says, "The show of their countenance shall be a witness against them." Now, it's about 2,600 years since Isaiah wrote that. And today, you know it's true. There isn't any other race of people in the world that carry their facial characteristics over more than about three generations. But our Hebrew friends still have it. And everywhere I've been in the world, and I've traveled in lots of countries, I see my Hebrew friends, my Jewish friends. You can tell them the minute you see them. That prophecy, no one would ever dream of such a thing, that a race would maintain all the time their physical appearance. But they do. Then again, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 37, we read that they shall be a byword in all the nations whither I shall drive them. A byword. And they're called all kinds of names, as you know. And they're fine people, splendid people. I do business with them in Kansas City all the time I can, because I love the Jewish people. I rent from them. I have a family just beneath me. They don't want my Savior, but they couldn't be nicer. They're just as lovely as anybody could be. But they're a byword. Nobody else is. The Egyptians aren't. The Germans aren't. The Swedes aren't. The Japanese aren't. Nobody else is a byword. And then God says that He put enmity in the hearts of the nations against them. Says God did it. He didn't do that to anybody else. And today, wherever you go, there are despised people. They're as lovely as they can be. They're good neighbors, splendid businessmen, splendid politicians, doctors, lawyers, merchants. But there's an enmity. You can't understand it. You can't explain it except it's the fulfillment of prophecy. And then in Deuteronomy 28:44, the Lord said, "If you disobey me, I'll make you the tail of the nations." The tail, T-A-I-L. In the earlier part of that book, he says, "If you walk with me, I'll make you the head of the nations. And the Gentiles will all bring their wealth to you, and they'll borrow from you." Then he said, "If you disobey me, if you turn away from me, I'll make you the tail of the nations, make you the very bottom." And that's where they've gone. Now look at this parable. It is a parable in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. "The hand of the Lord was upon me." And that's a lovely thing. Beloved, I hope you don't want to go through life without God touching you. That's a tragic thing to live. And God ignore you. That's a tragedy. Don't live that kind of a life. See to it that God puts His hand on you. Go and kneel in His presence and tell Him so. "He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones," the valley. Now I want you to notice a strange thing. They weren't on the mountaintop. They've been in the valley now for many, many years. About 2,200 years they've been down in the valley. And God looks at them as though they were all in one place, in one valley. Because Israel as a nation is not looked at as a bunch of individuals. The Lord had a little experience along that line. You remember in Luke 14, He said, "How often would I have gathered thy children together? As a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not." Brood, that's the whole nation. But in the 23rd of Matthew, when He changed it 2 years later, He said, "How often would I have gathered thy children together? As a hen doth gather her chickens," not now brood, "her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." You see, he's dropped the idea of saving the whole nation, and He's taking individuals as they desire. Because our lovely Lord is so kind and wonderful. But He saw this valley full of bones. These are human bones. And there are 206 bones in the body. There are three in each ear and 200 in the rest of the body. And that there were these, they were all there. In this great mass, this great pile of bones in this valley, were these little tiny ear bones mixed in with them. And the smaller bones of the wrist and of the ankle. All the big bones and all the little bones, they were all there in that one pile. Because when they came together, there were an army, there were full-fledged people. All the bones had to be there. And then he caused me to pass by them round about. Beloved, God wants you to look at the Jewish people and care for them and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God invites us to go and look them over, examine them. Personally, I love to. I love to talk with them. I love to minister to them. And they won't accept it much. I talked with Ben Gurion in the King David Hotel over in Jerusalem. And he said, Dr. Wilson, you can send missionaries over here if you want to. We'd like to have them come, but we won't believe anything they say. That's what Ben Gurion said. He said, you folks look after their spiritual welfare, because my business is to look after their bodies. And that's right. They have a physical interest in Israel, but no spiritual interest of any kind. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now that's a strange thing. Even the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, are very dry. I know some of them. In fact, I studied Hebrew under a Jewish rabbi. I taught him algebra in exchange for him teaching me Hebrew. And it was very interesting. But I couldn't get that dear man for the life of me to say anything good about God or his Bible or spiritual things at all. It was just a physical teaching, just like he was teaching me arithmetic or something of the kind. Very dry. You will never get any spiritual help of any kind, even on the Old Testament, from our Jewish friends. You won't get any. Very dry. Now, bones tell us that there was sometime a life. He never told us anything about bones of Egypt. Now, the present Egyptians are not Egyptians at all. They're descendants of Turkish criminals and Armenian criminals, because Turkey came in, took all the Egyptians out of there. The ruling dynasty was completely wiped out, and then they sent down in there to populate the farms the criminals they wanted to get rid of out of both Turkey and Armenia. So the folks that are in Turkey now are descendants from Turks and Armenians. They're not Egyptians at all, although they look like Egyptians. Remember, beloved, when God does anything, he does it thoroughly. And so there are no bones of the old Egypt dynasty at all. There are only dry bones of Israel, a nation that God picked out of all the other nations to make them his people. And we thank God for them. I wouldn't have any glasses, spectacles, if it wasn't for those bones. Now this eye I have in here is a fake, it's a fraud, it's a hypocrite. It looks like a real article, but it's plastic. I wouldn't have that plastic eye if it hadn't been for the Jews. And I have some hypocrites in my mouth. They look all right, but they're not. They're mine, my own teeth, but that is, they're paid for. But I wouldn't have any dentistry if it wasn't for the Jews. We wouldn't have any microphone if it wasn't for the Jews. We owe them everything. Where this world goes, there's a Jewish book. Wherever it goes, there's light and love and kindness and helpfulness for others. These bones were very dry. Then we read, Son of Man, can these bones live? And we have to ask that question today. Can the Jewish people become believers? Can they? Some are getting saved. We have a number in our church. We have a lovely Christian worker in our church that goes among them. And we have a Jewish worker in Kansas City. Very wise, very helpful. And every little while God gives us a Jewish friend and we welcome them. Can these bones live? Can it be possible that the Holy Spirit of God will give life to these dear folks? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, it's a good thing to have backbone enough to say you don't know when you don't know. It takes a brave man to say, I don't know, because everybody thinks we know something, you know, so we have to say, pretend we do. Then he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. Now notice, say unto them. Don't say about them, say unto them. Talk right to your Jewish friend and say, hear the word of the Lord. not your arguments, not your reasonings. Hear what the Word of God says. Now, when I studied Hebrew under this Jewish rabbi, I stipulated that we were to study out of the Psalms, that that would be our textbook. He didn't like that, but then I said, that's what we'll do. So I picked out the Messianic Psalms, of course, to learn Hebrew. And it bothered him. When we were studying Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. I said, who are these two Lords? Jehovah's what 'tis. The Lord, the Jehovah said to my Jehovah, sit at my right hand. I said, who are they? He said, I'll look in the Talmud and I'll tell you. When he came back next week, he said, 'twas Hezekiah. Well, I said, that's interesting. Do you really think Hezekiah was Jehovah? Well, no, but that's what the Talmud says. The Psalms are so messianic, so beautiful in telling about our lovely Lord. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus said, I am like an owl in the desert. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. And then he compares himself to an eagle 4 or 5 times for deity. And I said to my Jewish friend, who is this that's like an owl and a pelican and a sparrow alone upon the housetop and like an eagle? And he wouldn't answer me. You don't have any trouble, beloved, talking to them about what's in their own Bible. Say unto them, thus saith the word of the Lord. And now verse 6. I will lay sinews upon you. No, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord of God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now, remember, beloved, salvation is always from the Lord. It isn't a decision somebody makes. Don't ever ask anybody to make a decision for Christ. The word never occurs in the Bible at all. Never find it. There is a valley of decision mentioned in one of the Psalms. That's all. How can a dead man decide to become alive? How can an enemy of God become a child of God? How can a man that's born blind decide he won't be blind? The thing's absurd. You never read in the Bible anywhere. If you want to convey God's thoughts, use God's words. Salvation's a revelation from God about the person of Jesus Christ. And the person sees the Savior and jumps into his arms. You don't have to beg anybody to when he sees he's lost. I will say, notice the verse, hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. And if he doesn't do it, it isn't done. We have so much fraud, beloved, in the Christian life these days. Absolute fraud. Now, you'll take Jesus for your Savior, won't you? And you believe he died for you, don't you? And he don't know any more about it than a rabbit. Billy will shake his head at you if you ask him a question. You can't do that and get genuine converts. There must be, beloved, a revelation from heaven of the value of Jesus Christ. You remember, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I'll tell you something. When anybody gets saved that way, you can come back in 10 years and find them in the church very busy for God. That's a genuine article. I will cause breath to come into you. The breath, of course, represents the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. You see, it's a gradual thing. Israel's going back, but in all my trip around Palestine, I only found one synagogue. There may be more, I don't know, but I only saw one. And I went through the principal cities. They're not interested in God at all. Just exactly like Ben-Gurion said. We're interested in their bodies, not in their souls. Some of them get saved. We have some good missionaries over there. And I'll put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's a key to everything in the Christian life. Getting acquainted with him as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is thy Lord. Not your Savior, your Lord. And believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's his Lordship that counts. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The blind man said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And then he said, Lord, I believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, not your neck. That's what it says, with thy mouth. That he is your Lord. Beloved, there's something happens when he becomes Lord of the life. He puts the sins away. He becomes our Savior, all right. And he loves to do it, and he saves us with an eternal salvation. But what a blessing it is, beloved, when we find that he owns us. We are his property, and we are his children, and we are his servants and his slaves, and we love it. Well, we read, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise." Notice that. Now, that noise took place in 1939 in Geneva, when Dr. Weizmann called together the great leaders of Zionistic movements and told them what he wanted the kingdom to be when they got it. And it was at that same the time that convention was held in August 1939 that the Hitler proclamation went out. Same time. Hitler was going to drive the Jews off the earth. And that was the noise. Then it said, "Behold, a shaking." And the shaking came when the mandate ended, and the whole world wondered, what's going to happen to Israel? General Cunningham boarded a British warship, and the minute he got on that ship, Britain was out of Israel. And there was a shaking all over this world. People wondered, would it bring on a great world war? And then the bones came together. The bones came together. Wasn't it lovely? And I think one of the curses of our generation is when Britain refused to allow the refugees to land in Israel. And I saw with my own eyes the wreck of the ship with 1,100 Jewish immigrants from concentration camps in Germany that was blown up in the harbor at Haifa because nobody would let them land. Britain wouldn't let them land. And they were full of scurvy and disease and sickness and death. And Britain wouldn't let them land. And they blew the ship up and killed themselves. It is a blight on civilization. There was a shaking, and then a coming together. And there are nearly 2 million Jews over there now, and more going all the time. And then we read, bone to his bone. That's a wonderful thing. Do you know, beloved, that in every country, the Jews are learning everything? Some of the finest teachers I had in medicine and surgery were Jewish men. I have a diploma on my wall from a Jewish man who taught me the use of the microscope and how to understand pathology, diseased tissues, and histology, normal tissues. A Jew taught me that, and he was a splendid man. A Jewish surgeon in Kansas City, a very prominent man and a very able man who taught me surgery. 25 years after I got out of school, met me in the research hospital and said, "Say, Walter, when I was in school, you used to give me gospel tracts and talk to me about God, and I didn't have any interest, but I tell you, I'm getting along now where I've got 1 foot in the grave, and I'm not far from the grave. Will you come to my office and tell me all you know about God?" I said, "I'd love to, doctor. When can I come?" He looked at his little black book, said, "Come next Wednesday." This was Wednesday. "Come next Wednesday, and I'll not have anything on that day, and I'll lock the door, and I'll not be in all day, and you can just have all day to tell me all you know about God." I said, "Thank you, doctor. I'd be glad to do it." On Friday, he flew down to Amarillo, Texas to perform a very delicate and difficult operation. Saturday morning, he flew back. But when he got over to Olathe, Kansas, 21 miles west of Kansas City, he flew into a dust storm. And if you folks have never seen one, I hope you never will. I've been in a dust storm. You can't see through the windshield. The air is full of dirt. Terrible. And he flew into that, and the dirt was so thick it got into his instruments and stopped up his instruments. He dropped flares, but the dirt put out the flares. And he flew until he ran out of gasoline and plunged to the earth and was killed Saturday. I felt awful bad about that. I didn't want to win that man for the Savior. Bone came to his bone. Now, God is training in every country men to do everything that has to be done in human life. Jewish men. So as they go back, they're taking with them every kind of trade and profession that is known to men. And they're trained, they're getting the best there is in all countries, every country. So when they go back there, they know exactly what to do. In Haifa and in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem, why, they've got the most magnificent buildings you'll ever see with your eyes. And there were Jews there to do everything that had to be done. The plumbing, the glazing, the electric fixtures, and the setting of the stone, and the setting of the equipment of all kinds. There was a man there to do everything. The architects were there to design it. The contractors were there to build it. All Jews. And they had learned it in Britain and in Canada and in Australia and in America and in every country.
They lay the finest there is. And I saw the wonderful irrigation projects that they were putting in. Do you know that in the Jewish refugee camps, you won't find a man all day long? Not a man. They're out working. And not many women, they're out working too. But I went over into Jordan and saw the Arab refugee camps. Every man in there sitting down, doing nothing, waiting for care packages to come and feed him. Not lifting a hand to do anything. And you couldn't find a man over in Israel. In Jordan, I was besieged, in all the Arab countries, besieged with beggars. Just besieged with them. And they couldn't put their hands in my pocket. There isn't a beggar in Israel. Not one. From the time I entered till I left, I never saw a beggar. You see, beloved, God is doing, he brings boom to his boom. So if there's an operation to be performed, there's a nurse there, a Jewish nurse, to know what to do. There's an anesthetist there to give the anesthetic. There's a surgeon there to perform it. There's a nurse there to take care of the post-operative case. And there's somebody there that knows how to put in the heating plant. And everything about it. Every bone, now, there isn't any two bones in your body that will fit anywhere except where they belong. They won't fit anywhere. When I was a boy, I used to gather bones. Everywhere I went, I gathered bones. Tried to make skeletons out of them. I had bird bones and dog bones and cat bones, and I never could put them together. But our Lord is bringing bones together. And then it says, I beheld and all the sinews and the flesh came, but there was no breath in them. Verse 8, Holy Spirit wasn't there. Christ Jesus the Messiah wasn't there. No life there. Just bones. And then he said, prophesy unto the wind, that's to the Holy Spirit. Son of man, say to this wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. An exceeding great, what's the next word? Army. Soldiers. Not school teachers. Army. God's going to make a believing army out of Israel. And that's a prophecy about Israel. They're going to have a wonderful time someday. And you and I are going to live to see when the United States will be borrowing from Israel. And England will be borrowing from Israel. They've got the money. All they have to do is try to take it away. And they're going to be the head of the nations and not the tail. Beloved, let me urge you, be kind to the Jews and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because our blessed Lord has them for his own choice people, no matter whether you like them or don't like them. And you would like them if you saw what God is going to do with them and what he's going to do through them. And we owe them our Bible. We owe them our Savior. We owe them our civilization. And someday we're going to see that lovely man on the throne, the sweetest, loveliest, best person that ever lived, and he's a Jew. Won't it be precious? What do you suppose you'll say when you meet the Savior? And some of you think you can get along without the Savior. Beloved, you haven't a chance. Not a chance. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. You haven't a chance. You must get to him. I hope that before these meetings close Sunday, you will get to him. And he accepts you. That's the beautiful part of it. No matter whether you're one nation or another nation, language, sick or well, big or little, ignorant or educated, doesn't mean him. He takes in every person that comes and says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And you've got to go to that Jew, Christ Jesus our Lord, and trust your soul and your life and your heart to him. And he'll take you in, and I'll tell you this, you'll find he's better than you ever thought he was.